नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the Parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord, except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is for... And what should I do? For Krishna Katha topics about Krishna consciousness, there must be a speaker and a hearer, both of whom can be interested in Krishna consciousness if they are no longer interested in material topics. One can actually see how this attitude automatically develops in persons who are Krishna conscious. Although the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement are quite young men, they no longer read materialistic newspapers, magazines, and so on, for they are no longer interested in such topics, nivritta tarshai. They completely give up the bodily understanding of life. For topics concerning Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master speaks and the disciple hears with attention. Unless both of them are free from material desires, they cannot be interested in topics of Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master and disciple do not need to understand anything more than Krishna, because simply by understanding Krishna and talking about Krishna, one becomes a perfectly learned person. Yasmin vijyate sarvam evam vijyatam bhavati. The Lord sits within everyone's heart, and by the grace of the Lord, the devotee receives instructions directly from the Lord himself, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Saravasya chaham hridishani vishto matasmatira jnanam apohanam cha vedaishta sairaver aham eva vedyo vedanta kridveda videva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. Krishna consciousness is so exalted that one who is perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the spiritual master is fully satisfied by reading Krishna Katha as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar Vedic literatures. Since merely talking about Krishna is so pleasing, we can simply imagine how pleasing it is to render service to Krishna. When discourses on Krishna Katha take place between a liberated spiritual master and his disciple, others also sometimes take advantage of hearing these topics and also benefit. These topics are the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death by which one takes on different material bodies again and again is called bhava or bhava roga. If anyone willingly or unwillingly hears Krishna Katha, his bhava roga, the disease of birth and death, will certainly stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhavosada, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karmis, or persons attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires. But Krishna Katha is so potent a medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Kirtan, he will certainly be freed from this disease. A practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was fully satisfied. When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva a benediction, Dhruva refused it. Swamin kritartosmin varam yat nayache. My dear Lord, he said, I am fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. We actually see that even young boys and girls in the Krishna consciousness movement has given up their long practice of bad habits, like illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, because Krishna consciousness is so potent that it gives them full satisfaction. They are no longer interested in material sense gratification. Translation. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those who are no longer interested in false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord, except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Venama. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the conclusion of all the transcendental knowledge of the Vedic literatures, spoken by Srila Vyasadeva, is describing the essence of all transcendental realization and how to attain it. Srila Vyasadeva begins the Bhagavatam by describing the great Emperor Parikshit, how he was cursed to die in 7 days, and how he responded to this apparent great misfortune. He relinquished all the things of this world which would distract his mind away from the lotus feet of Lord Hari. He approached the foremost of all ascetics, Srila Shukadeva Goswami. He sat at his feet simply to hear this message in submissive oral reception. Of course, we all know this story, but how much we must understand the importance of the example given by Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. You see, as long as you are interested in making advancement in your material life, as long as you are the slightest interested for material sense gratification, you cannot hear transcendental knowledge. Of course, we are all attached to the bodily conception of life. But those who have the strong desire to be liberated from the bodily conception of life, those who deeply aspire to free themselves from the clutches of the attachment between the senses and the objects, and who want to understand the higher goals of life, they are fit to properly hear the message of Bhagavatam, or the glories of the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit, when it was explained to him that he was to die within 7 days, he considered it a great benediction. Most of us would be very, very fearful, would consider ourselves very unfortunate. After all, Maharaj Parikshit did not deserve it. He was a great king. He was a very righteous and pious man. He was a great devotee of the Lord since his birth. But by the arrangement of Krishna, he committed one small mistake. And he was sentenced. He was given the death sentence. Very difficult situation. But Maharaj Parikshit, because he understood the goal of life, he welcomed the death sentence. He welcomed it and was very happy to receive it. In fact, he had the power to avoid it if he wanted. He himself was a very powerful mystic. He could have reversed the curse and challenged the inexperienced Brahman who so foolishly cursed him. But Maharaj Parikshit, knowing the will of the Lord, decided that the best way he could preach was to simply accept it happily. In fact, Maharaj Parikshit was relieved when he received this curse, because he took it as the sign coming from Krishna that now it is time to retire from all worldly activities and simply think of him. So obviously Maharaj Parikshit was not the slightest bit concerned with material sense gratification. He was not the slightest bit attached to his high material position in life. And this is the standard that we should all come to. We should not approach saintly persons with the desire for a material arrangement of happiness in this world. Because factually, there are so many worldly materialistic persons who can provide that benediction upon you. You approach a saintly person for one reason and one reason alone. That by their blessings and by their mercy, we can be relieved of all material aspirations. We should never approach a saintly person with our material aspirations. If we do, we are cheating ourselves. As Dhruva Maharaj explained, he was approaching the Lord for broken pieces of glass, but he attained a rare diamond. So similarly, if you want broken pieces of glass, do not go to the jewelry store. Go to the garbage dump where there's all sorts of broken pieces of glass. If you want nice sex life, if you want nice, comfortable living, if you want a position within society where people will respect you and adore you, then go to the garbage dump of materialistic persons. Bhagavatam says that crows, they are very fond of making pilgrimage to the garbage, where they are eating the refuse. So similarly, materialistic persons are very, very fond of eating the refuse of material enjoyment, chewing the chewed. And those persons who are most expert at material enjoyment, they are the leaders. So go to them. You do not go to the swan in the beautiful lakes where there are lotus flowers to find garbage. You go there to find the highest and the sweetest of all flavors. So similarly, when we approach a saintly person in the mood of Maharaj Parikshit, we should approach a saintly person with this strong determination that I want Krishna, I want God. I'm frustrated and disgusted with material life. Now let me seek out the highest. And factually, there is only one place that we can receive the highest, from those who are living on the platform of transcendental life. Shukadeva Goswami, he was no longer interested in the slightest in anything material. Let us try to understand the position of Shukadeva Goswami. He was obviously not interested in wearing nice clothes because he roamed through the jungles naked. He didn't wear anything. He was obviously not interested in a comfortable place to live because he slept in the forest under a different tree every night. He definitely was not interested in being recognized as a very great guru or a very saintly person, because he pretended to be a madman. And the people of society condemned him and rejected him. In fact, as he was walking through the forest, the common people, they thought he was so crazy that they were throwing refuse at him. They were shouting insults and blasphemies at him. And he simply welcomed it all and was very happy to receive this reciprocation, knowing that it was the result of his complete detachment from this material world. He accepted it as the mercy of God. So Shukadeva Goswami was not attached to any condition of this world. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye. He was not attached to wealth. He was not attached to women. He was not attached to distinction, aggrandizement. He was only attached to one thing: always remembering Krishna and always glorifying the Lord through his every act, his every word, his every thought. So, this is the real combination which gives birth to transcendental realization. When we approach a bona fide spiritual master, a bona fide saintly person, with a desire for Krishna consciousness, with the desire for detachment, knowledge, and devotion, and when we approach such a person who is no longer interested in material life, then our spiritual life really begins. Of course, the unfortunate situation is that because the material energy is so powerful, that sometimes we forget why initially or originally we came to spiritual life. Sometimes, as time goes on, we become very complacent. The things that we so enthusiastically renounced or rejected when we began our spiritual life, we begin to consider that these things really are not so bad after all. Maya is like a thief. Her business is to steal whatever propensities you have to serve Krishna. Of course, for a materialistic person, they just leave their front door wide open and go to sleep. And the thief of Maya just walks right in and steals everything away. But for a devotee who has learned from a bona fide spiritual master that sense gratification and Krishna consciousness are total opposites. You cannot have both. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayaparita chetasam vyabhashayatmaka buddhir samadho navadiyate. That for those who are too much attached to material opulence and sense enjoyment, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Without detachment, there is no possibility of attachment to Krishna. So therefore, a devotee is trained to lock every door and every window so that the thief of Maya cannot enter into his consciousness. We follow the four regulative principles and we keep our mind filled with hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, Maya has no place to enter. Sometimes it is said that Krishna consciousness is like the razor's edge. If there is a little inattention, there will be blood. What does that mean? If we become the slightest bit inattentive, if we leave even one crack of the basement window, the slightest bit open, you can know for sure Maya will find that. And she will very, very quietly, gradually open it and creep in. And you will not even know that she's there. And very, very meticulously, carefully, and quietly, she will little by little take one, another, and another of the treasures of your home, your consciousness. And by the time you wake up, you realize there's nothing left. This is the way Maya works in relationship to a devotee. Very subtle. You give in a little, and then a little more, and then a little more. And you do not even realize that you're giving in. You're thinking, just a little. Just, after all, we're not fanatics. After all, a little sense gratification is healthy. Gradually, a little becomes a little more, that becomes a little more, that becomes a little more. And you're thinking, actually, I'm a good devotee. I'm doing everything just right. And before you know it, you realize that you're totally fallen. You have nothing. You've lost all your attraction for Krishna consciousness. You've lost all your attraction for austerity. Your intelligence has been stolen away. You're completely an illusion, completely bewildered. And then you finally, after it all makes sense, how did this happen to me? Srila Prabhupada told a story about the camel. It was very cold in the desert, and the Arab man had just one tent. It was big enough only for him. And he had a fire in the tent. It was very warm. So the camel came and said, "Please let me in the tent. I'm very cold." He said, "No, no. It's only big enough for one person. You have to stay outside." So he was very fixed in his determination. But the camel said, "But my nose is very cold. Just my nose. Let me put my nose in." The Arab said, "All right, but only your nose, nothing else. It's the beginning of the end. When you give 1 inch to Maya, there's no end." So the camel put the nose in. After some time, he said, "I cannot see. My eyes are freezing. Please, just my eyes, only my eyes." He said, "All right, only your eyes." And after some time, he said, "You know, camels are very, very attached to their necks. We have very big necks. My neck is freezing. You don't know what it's like. Please, just my neck." And then his front legs, and then his back legs, and then his tail. And then pretty soon the Arab was outside, freezing on the ground, and the camel was nicely enjoying the evening in the tent. It's a foolish sounding story, but it's the story of our lives if we're not careful. If you give Maya an inch, she will take everything. Imperceptibly. Therefore, we must be very cautious, very careful, from the very beginning. And how are we careful? It's no mystery, it's no great secret. If we always organize and manage our life under the supervision of great souls who are detached from material enjoyment, if at every step we move with their blessings, then there's no chance that Maya can creep into our life. But as soon as we take our life into our own hands, as soon as we become so ridiculously proud to think that I can decide what is best for me, then what we are doing is we are simply putting the welcome mat out. Maya, please come. Therefore, the great souls, they never act independent of the guru and the sadhus. And we find that even the greatest personalities By their example, they humble themselves before the great souls and take instruction. Just to show the common man. When Lord Ramchandra was living in the forest with Vishwamitra Muni, and actually throughout his entire life, he would practically never make a major decision in his life without first approaching Vishwamitra Muni, Vishishta Muni, or the great devotees to inquire, do I have your blessings to do this? Knowing that without the blessings of the great souls, anything that we do is condemned. Anything we do is simply by the power of Maya's influence. You know, oftentimes Srila Bhaktipada, Srila Prabhupada, they tell us that in preaching, if we want to really, really go into a situation that's difficult and establish Krishna consciousness, we must go in like a needle and out like plow. You have heard this saying? If a person is ready for Krishna consciousness, you go in like a plow. Huh? And you come out like a bomb. Right? Their material life is obliterated and all that's left is Hare Krishna. But for a person who is very, very closed to receiving spiritual knowledge, you have to go in like a needle, like a little pin, so he doesn't even know you're coming. And once you get in, you come out like plow. Huh? Now, do you think that Maya does not know our philosophy? Everything that Guru teaches us, Maya hears. And she knows that this is the way to destroy a person who is Krishna conscious. She takes our own philosophy and uses it against us. She comes in like a needle and out like a plow for those who are devotees. So we must be very, very careful. The needle of Maya cannot enter our life as long as we are being protected by the grace of Krishna and his devotees. Therefore, we should be very, very careful. We should be very careful not to do anything, not to say anything, and we should even avoid as far as possible thinking anything that does not have the auspicious blessings of our spiritual master and the great souls. We should know that anything contrary to the instructions of the great saintly persons is Maya. She may disguise herself just like Ravana. How did he catch Sita? He disguised himself as a very saintly person. Correct? Because Sita, she would not have allowed herself to be vulnerable to a wicked-minded person. He disguised himself as a very pious and gentle sadhu. Huh? And therefore Sita was thinking, there's no reason to guard myself against him. He's a great saint. He's asking for something, I should give. And then Ravana, after she went beyond the limits of where she was protected by the order of Ram and Lakshman, she was simply stolen away. In the same way, Maya will steal us. Maya appears to be our best friend. Sometimes she even appears to be Krishna himself. And then we put trust in Maya. And then we want to reciprocate and offer of ourselves in the service of Maya. And then before we know it, we're in the hands of Ravana. We're in the hands of the material energy. So it is not difficult. Krishna consciousness is very simple. We never have to be subject to this condition of life. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. If you simply are submissive and humble, if you simply accept, I know nothing, but Krishna's representatives, they know everything. And before making any major decisions in our life, before making any decisions, we must be sure that our decision is confirmed by higher authorities. If we always act in this way, Maya has no place in our life. She can tempt us, she can taunt us, she could harass us, but she cannot come into our life. The doors are locked. Huh? But as soon as you take your life in your own hands, you are Maya's property. So therefore, we must approach spiritual life pranipashnena sevaya. We must inquire submissively from Guru. And we must render service. If we always keep our minds filled with the transcendental vibration through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and we know that we should only hear and chant the glories of the Lord from those persons who are detached from material enjoyment, and we are always receiving our instructions and our direction in life from them and them only, and if we always keep our mind and our senses and our words engaged in their loving service, the service of such great souls, then we are in a fearless condition. Nothing can stop our spiritual progress. It's very simple. Just be humble. Just be submissive. Simply accept the guidance of great souls in your life. Accept the guidance of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And then there are no dangers. Isn't that simple? Why do we complicate things with our own mental conceptions, our own mental speculations? So we should just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Is there any, would you like to speak, Pratipa? When anyone else answers a question, it's easy. When Bhaktipada answers a question, even if it's easy, it's difficult. Well, I will try to answer, then you can tell us what the real answer is. First of all, we must know that the Lord within our heart cannot be approached directly. Krishna says in Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam ye. That only one who is on the pure platform, who is constantly devoted and worships him with pure love, only such a person can receive information directly from the Lord in the heart. Therefore, we must approach the external manifestation of the Lord in the heart, who is speaking in such a way that we can hear direct. And that is the spiritual master, that is the great souls. Now, we can pray to the Lord in our heart, but the Lord in our heart can also be imitated by Maya in our heart. Huh? Just as Ravana appeared just like a beautiful, gentle sadhu, similarly, our lusty desires can appear just like the four-armed form of Vishnu. We do not know how to discriminate. Therefore, whatever message we receive from within must be confirmed by Guru from without. In this way, there is no danger. Otherwise, we are playing with fire. Is that correct?
Guru is trying to connect us with the Lord in the heart. He wants us to take instructions from the Lord in the heart. But the instructions, as you say, must always be confirmed, because there's no difference between the instruction of Krishna in the heart and Krishna in the form of Guru without. If we see a difference, then we have to accept the instruction of Guru without. Because we're on the platform of duality. Therefore, Krishna has appeared in duality as Guru. But he's trying to awaken us to unity, to the Lord in the heart. As you say, the instructions of the Lord in the heart are always confirmed by Guru without and sadhu.
One time a devotee approached Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, in a dream, because it is also said in the Shastra that Guru can appear in the dream, correct? Like Prabhupada, his order to take sannyas came from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who appeared 3 times in dreams to tell him, leave your home and take sannyas. So one time Prabhupada appeared to someone in a dream, this person. He was approaching Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you appeared to me in a dream last night. And you told me that it was all right for me to take LSD. That it would assist me in my spiritual realizations. And Prabhupada said, that was not me. That was a demon disguised as me. Huh? And I remember one time there was a devotee and he was aspiring to be Bhaktipada's disciple, and he had a dream that Bhaktipada told him to take first, second, and third initiation all at once, sannyas. So he performed his own fire sacrifice and gave himself sannyas with a picture of Bhaktipada. And then when I happened to go to that place, he had a danda and he had everything like a sannyasi. And he said, Bhaktipada gave me sannyas. And I said, I didn't know about this. And he told me about the dream. So of course, not wanting to indulge myself in affairs that were higher than my realizations. I called Bhaktipad and I said, did you appear to this person in a dream and tell him to take sannyas? He's living with his mother. And Bhaktipad said that he was in Maya. He said he should come to New Vrindavan and just surrender and give up all this mental speculation. But this person seriously thought. So therefore, there always must be, as Srila Bhaktipada is saying, this complete unity and harmony between the messages we receive from within and the blessed instructions of the spiritual master who is so kindly appearing before us.
Thank you very much.